Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Here we go now.
Bump, a question I will throw to you and the Mac and Jack's text line. So if you guys are listening, feel free to text in your answer and why. 866-979-3776. We've been talking a lot about the draft, what John Schneider needs to do, and we've also been talking a ton about some of the stories around Mike McDonald and his new culture and building up what he might have here. Who's under more pressure this season? John Schneider, your GM, or Mike McDonald, your brand new head coach?
First, I want to give a shout out to anybody who got the free hoodie from the Mariners game. I'm rocking mine. Matt was on my head right now.
Why? No, it looks great. Matt, it's great. Matt, what did you
look
say?
Great.
Why are you
great.
You know what?
Big ups to the free sweaters. They're Matt, thin as heck. Got to wear some under,
but we
get to go.
What did you say to Bump?
No, I was just saying, Bump, you look great in it. It looks like you like rolled
like
around in a sticker sheet earlier today. It's great. It's great. It's
okay.
A great look for you. I love it.
All right, back on track. Back on track. Who's under? It's different kind of pressure. I think Schneider's pressure is this weekend is your weekend. This is your time to shine. You've signed Leonard Williams. You've made Geno feel safe at home. You got a quarterback in Sam Howell. You added offensive line talent as well. Not to say that Mike McDonald has not been involved in this process, but we all know that John Schneider is leading the charge with this. His pressure is, now you got to get the draft right. Now you got to sit at number 16, see what happens in front of you, decide if you want to trade back and get into the second round, or are you going to stay put, and who are you going to draft? What's important to your team now? All right, is it interior defensive lineman? Is it guard? What is it? And I hope you get it right because you've done a good job. Last year, the number 5 and 20 pick, boom, on point, you did your thing. This year at number 16, you're in between those two picks. How are you going to attack this? So his pressure is getting the personnel right. McDonald's pressure is different. Now what do you do with the personnel? How is taking down the pitchers going in VMAC? What's your scheme going to be on offense? How is Grubb going to get acclimated to this personnel and the NFL style of playing football? What's your defensive coordinator going to look like? That's another pressure, too, is John Schneider did the hiring. He hired a rookie head coach. He hired or helped hire a rookie defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And he helped hire a rookie offensive coordinator. There's a lot of newness over here. And sometimes newness scares people. That's why you have guys in the NFL that just get recycled year after year after year because they know the process, they know the game, and they have a scheme or philosophy that has proven to work at some time during this league. So I think they're under a different amount of pressure. Up to this point, most of the pressure is on John Schneider, I feel like, because Mike McDonald doesn't even have his full team. He don't even know what this roster is going to look like completely until after this draft. So right now, it's Schneider, man. He's got to get this draft right. There are going to be some misses. Every pick is not going to hit. But the most important pick, which is number 16, I feel like he has to hit on this one.
I think you're right. However, what is the weirdest story, just the most random story we've all been talking about for the last week?
Random story?
Yeah.
Drafting a quarterback?
No. A story where we're like, wow, this really blew up. Like this
The images in
the images in the hallway at the facility. That kind of thing has put pressure on Mike McDonald in the weirdest way that I think he's under more pressure than John Schneider. Like, I think the problem is you came in as someone where you're following up Pete Carroll, who even though in the final years of his tenure here in Seattle, the defense was pretty atrocious and this team did not have a ton of playoff success, he still brought the team its first Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He brought the team to back-to-back Super Bowls. He was the winningest Seahawks coach that we've ever seen. When you follow that up, it doesn't matter what was happening in later years. You're following up the most successful head coach the Seahawks have ever had. You come in here as a 36-year-old who was heavily pursued because people saw you as this brilliant defensive coordinator with the Baltimore Ravens, and you're going to come in here and save us, right? Like, you're going to come in here and you're going to save everything, right? And the problem is you can only work with what you have, but I think that it's not that that's lost on people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when people think that you can work wonders, the expectation is you don't need the best pieces. And I think this defense actually needs a lot of pieces and needs a lot of personnel and is going to take a draft class or two or three and a couple free agency periods and some development of younger players to really become elite in terms of personnel. But the expectation will be that they improve that much this season.
That's unrealistic.
It is unrealistic, but I think it's there. And to tack on to that unfair expectation, Mike McDonald did not start quickly with Baltimore when he was their defensive coordinator. They had an ugly loss to the Dolphins in his first season in week two, 42-38. That defense did not have a great game.
42-38.
And then the following week, they got a win, but the defense gave up 26 points. The following week, the defense gave up 23 points. Then 2 weeks after that, they gave up 24.
You know what you sound like right now? You sound like Mr. Brian, whatever, sitting at the bar right now. It's like, he better come in and win right now.
No, that's not
he
what I'm saying.
He better win.
I'm telling you that that person exists.
Yeah.
And that with that person.
That's not real, though.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. But that's why the pressure, there's more pressure on Mike McDonald.
I think during the season there will be. This is John's season. It's the offseason.
See, I don't think fans see it
this
that
is
way.
John, well, you should. Listen closely, okay? This is John Schneider's season, the offseason. This is where he gets paid the big bucks. The offseason, then sprinkle him up all the way into the trade deadline because that's where he also makes decisions. So I'm with you. I think once the roster's set, you get into training camp, then I'm with you. I think the pressure shifts because he is following the greatest coach of all time here in Seattle.
It's just all eyes are on the head coach from the 360. Obviously, it's Coach Mike. It's his first year at the top level. John Schneider's been there and knows the necessary strategies. I think John Schneider has been here. I also think that John Schneider is under pressure, like Bump said, for different reasons. Name me, and it's not easy to become an All-Pro. Who's an All-Pro defensive lineman John Schneider's drafted?
Nobody.
Who's the last first-round pick that they signed to an extension?
Nobody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that guy's in there. They gave Rashad Penny kind of like a one-year prove-it deal. Prior to that, it was what, Earl Thomas? Like, I may be misremembering certain things, but, like, he has had, John Schneider had two of the best draft classes we've seen. I'll throw in a third, like a period of great draft classes from 2010, 11, 12. And then a period of
Lot
of misses.
He don't coach.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the coach has the pieces to work with. You've got great pieces in the last two draft classes. But do you have enough to expect that Mike McDonald's going to come in and make them the Baltimore Ravens defense? I think some people have an expectation.
So now it sounds like you're agreeing with me because you have the pieces, but it's hard to expect Mike McDonald just to take those pieces and go.
Yes.
That's why I look at John and say, you got to give him the necessary tools to make this thing go.
That is the view that an analyst has. I think many fans, because of stuff like Mike McDonald taking pictures down in the hallway, are thinking, well, you better go out and prove it. What's he going to prove? What all pros do you have on your roster? What Pro Bowlers do you have on your roster?
I'm sorry. If y'all feel that way, you're silly. You are so silly. If you expect Mike McDonald to come in here and this team wins 12, 13, 14 games, all right, if it happens for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think that should be expectation. You got to realize what's going on right now. There's a change. There's a change coming. John, say what you want about John. John's been in the game for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but John's been in the game with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll hired John Schneider.
Yep.
They've been in this together. So I look at John, I go, yeah, he's made the decisions. I do not want to minimize what John has done for this organization at all. He's made the decisions. But it's kind of like, okay, you're in the cockpit by yourself. You know, you had your co-pilot in the cockpit. Now it's just you in the cockpit. What are you going to do with it to help this young coach who you hired, 36-year-old, you hired and said, I believe in you. So, yeah, I'm with you, though. I think the pressure's going to shift eventually.
That's what I'm saying. Like, from the 360, it's John Stacy. Consignment. Stacy, we're starting from almost scratch. You watched last year, didn't you? Funny you mentioned that. I did. Thank you for listening. What I'm saying, you're not listening though. What I'm saying is where the pressure is going to be, not where I think it should be, not where I think it's deserved. I'm telling you, I have worked in sports. I have been a reporter. And if this team starts 1-5, do you know whose name is going to be in headlines? Do you know whose name is going to be written about? Do you know who's going to be getting the questions? It's not going to be John Schneider. It's going to be Mike McDonald. It's going to be the head coach. It is always going to be the head
coach.
They're
going to start 1-5.
Just like pressure is going to be on a quarterback.
They're going to start. That's the way you should think about this. They're going to start 1-5.
That's what I'm saying. By nature of it being a head coach, of course the pressure is on Mike McDonald. If you're someone who, you know, looks at it in a nuanced way and says like, oh, well, you got to think about the pieces. Congratulations. I'm not including you in this conversation. But as far as where public pressure will be, what are national radio shows going to talk about if the Seahawks are disappointing? Oh, is Mike McDonald in over his head?
Yeah,
I'm telling you what the headline's going to be because I've written them.
It's
because I've read them.
I've
I'm telling you how sports coverage works. The head coach is always more forward facing.
That's our fault.
More pressure.
Then. I'm not gonna do that. I'll be the voice of reason then if they get off to a bad start, because yeah, I get that. You always look at the head, the guy who's in front who has to talk to the media and stuff. Yeah. Naturally you're gonna look at him and say, what are you doing?
That's what I'm saying.
But I'll be the voice of reason if they start slow and be like, look, man, give this man some time to work.
Exactly.
John put this team together and let it, I mean, come on now. If you really expect, I'm sitting here saying just duplicate what you did last year, and that's a win for me, because it doesn't just change overnight. You don't have your quarterback for the next 10 years. This offensive line has been shaky as far as health. The defense was in shambles last year, and with all these new pieces, you got 30 new coaches. This is a brand new, I mean, it's brand new in that building. It's hard to take over, but I agree with you. I think that naturally people are going to go for the easy shot, and that's going to be at Mike McDonald.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I am not saying it's deserved, nor am I saying that anyone should expect a first-time head coach to go out and take this team to the moon. I'm answering the question bluntly and saying he's under a ton of pressure.
He is.
Part of that is because there's been some random stories that aren't really anything. They're kind of nothing burgers, but they've just become greater. And also because of what he's done previously, but it's easy to look at that final year with Baltimore, especially the second half of the season, and go, oh my God, look at that defense, and forget how they started, which was slow.
Yeah.
And he warned us. Mike McDonald sat down with us in the first interview that he did with any show, and he said that thing, he mentioned, like, you know, kind of almost warning people like they might start slow. Everyone should listen. They might. And it's okay, because look at where they got in Baltimore in a year.
Look, I'm gonna use service in DePoto, right? 7-8 years they've been at it. Starting slow, people are tired of that, because you start slow for 7-8 years. Here, I encourage all you guys to go on just with a fresh mind, blank, just like that one hallway that everyone's tripping off of because there's no pictures up. Blank walls, okay? You go in there and say, look for minimal improvement, because it's going to take longer than people expect. If they surprise us, then guess what? That's like when I come in to do a show and Curtis tells me we got a short show on Wednesday and I had no idea. Surprise! It all works out in the end. But, yeah, I agree with some of what you're saying, Steve.
Yeah, I think that it's a fascinating conversation, because ultimately, you're right. Like, you are ultimately right in that there is a lot of pressure on John that we aren't going to talk about once week one hits. We'll talk about it now with the draft, and we'll talk about it when we have these big picture conversations about what the team needs. But once we get into Sunday and then look into next Sunday, you're talking about what's happening on the field, and that becomes a Mike McDonald conversation, and we kind of forget.
Then you know where he goes to? Then he looks at the coordinators. It starts at John now, then he goes to Mike, then he goes to the coordinators, and then he goes to the players.
Yes, so we will just need to remember, as a result of this conversation, that whenever we talk about the team as a whole, we're always looking at where's the pressure falling, where's the decision coming from, is John giving Mike what he needs, and if so, then Mike, what are you doing? If Mike doesn't have what he needs, then, you know, hey, John, what are you looking for? Like, there's always this back and forth kind of thing that happens. I think that these two, I liked the kind of, like, vibe that they seem to have when Mike McDonald was introduced. I'm very curious to see how this partnership works out, and I think I'm more optimistic than expected about this season.
Give
How
me
do you
nine.
Feel?
Give me nine.
Nine wins?
Just give me nine.
I mean, I think that would be amazing. I don't know. I just was really excited about the hire of Mike McDonald. Mm-hmm. But I think
it's the new car smell. It's like, all right, we got the new car smell. Then you start riding it a little bit.
Yeah.
And now you got to clean that thing. You got to maintain it. I think he's got a lot of work to do, man. And we wish him luck for sure.
Let's get to four down territory.
This is four down territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Brandon Ayuk's been granted permission to seek trade offers from other teams. Who do you think should make a move?
Man, Brandon Ayuk, the all-pro receiver. He is the best receiver on the 49ers roster. I know you guys are going to say, what about Debo? Debo is something else. He's AI. He is not real, okay? Now, who could use Brandon Ayuk? I look at the team that just let a receiver go. That is the Buffalo Bills, man. They need a number one receiver. They got picks 28 in the first round. They got 60th in the second round. And then in the fourth round, that's pick overall number 128. Everyone's expecting the Bills to take a receiver at number 28. They've been mocked a lot to grab that kid from Texas, Xavier Worthy, who ran the fastest 40 time in all the land. They got to go get a guy. So I look at Brandon Ayuk, I look at the Bills, and I say, goodness gracious, imagine him with Josh Allen in the game. Things could happen. Now I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've had a great offseason. They added a couple quarterbacks. You got Patrick Queen over there, and you added some other pieces as well. Mike Tomlin said they're not thirsty for a number one or a first-round draft pick. They're not going to be super aggressive is what he was saying ultimately. But I think that's all. And you know what? I think if he has a chance to get Brandon Ayuk, you go ahead and get him. Who knows what they're going to do or what they plan on doing in the first round at pick number 20. We saw some mocks having the Seahawks moving back to 20 and doing their thing there. I think Brandon Ayuk would fit great on that team, help out George Pickens. Chase Claypool was teamed up for a while, just didn't work out. Third team I have, the New England Patriots. Stacey, you helped me organize this last week. There's a dude, there's a guy, and then there's just a person,
okay.
I guess.
A dude. Okay,
the
so
dude
there's
is
the
best
dude.
One. And then there's a guy.
And then there's he's a guy.
He's a guy.
Maybe there's something in between dude and guy. The guy. Man.
The man. Dude, the dude, the man, the guy.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
So they need a dude. They got
that's a level one.
That's a level one. They got guys and mans over there. All right. We got Kendrick Bourne at the receiver spot, who plays good against the Seahawks. You got DeMario Douglas and KJ Osborne. I think most people don't really have an idea who these guys are. They need a dude. They should go after Brandon Ayuk, especially if they're talking about switching that number three pick and moving back and getting more picks. That'll allow you to offer more for Brandon Ayuk. Those three are my top bidders for Brandon Ayuk.
I feel like that's a scale that makes total sense to me.
It does.
And I can't explain it other than to say, when you say, this is a dude.
A dude.
He is the dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mahomes. That's the number one guy.
Facts.
When it's, he's a grown man out there.
Yeah.
You're talking about Pro Bowl caliber.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when it's, yeah, he's a guy.
He's a guy.
Get a guy.
What did Steve Smith say?
He's just a
Jack.
Guy.
I wouldn't mind being just a guy in the league for a while, though.
Not
you know what I mean?
Second down. What do you hope Mike McDonald has the confidence and courage to do early in his coaching career?
Now, we just had a spirited debate about Mike McDonald and the pressures on him. So this is another pressure that Mike McDonald's going to have, man. Can you hold guys accountable? And what got me thinking about this was Mike McDaniels over there with the Miami Dolphins was watching film with Tyreek Hill and the rest of the team, and he highlighted a play where Tyreek Hill just got dominated by Snead. I mean, dominated. He goes, what are we paying all this money for? You're supposed to be the best in the league. And he did that in front of his peers. A lot of coaches won't do that, and they'll wait until you're one-on-one, and that's fine too. That's a way to coach, to not embarrass your number one player and make him feel all fluffy inside. But McDaniels didn't do that, and Tyreek Hill loved that. And I think the great ones can't appreciate that, unless maybe your quarterback and all that stuff. They're a bit different. You got to nurture them, guys. And for the most part, receivers as well. But I like this. I like that he's able to do that. Will Mike McDonald have the stones, as Dave Wyman says, to call out his best player when he's not on point? Can he hold him accountable? As a 36-year-old first-year head coach, he has to establish dominance right away. Does he have the stones to do that? I hope that he does, but he has to have the relationship with that player to do that as well. You don't just get after dudes and you know nothing about them. So I'm interested.
Oh, this is great. 206 says it's actually that dude, the man, and a guy.
I like that.
I like that.
Yep.
That's it. That's it. Third down. The draft is in a few days. No one really knows what the Seahawks are going to do, but if they were to trade back, what scenario intrigues you the most?
All right, there's a couple of them. Stacey, we talked about them a lot today. The first one is cutting a deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You give them 16, you get number 20 and 84. The next one is you cut a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. You give them 16 and 102. In exchange, you get 22 and 53. Next one, you got the Dallas Cowboys. Cut a deal with them. You give them 16 and 118 in exchange for 24 and 56. And then the Green Bay Packers, you give them 16, you get 25 and 58. Then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you give them 16, you get 26-57. And the last one with the Buffalo Bills, you get 28-60 and 163. That is the one that intrigues me the most because you're going to get three of them things for one of them things if you do move back. And these guys are in the AFC. You're not helping the NFC get any more better. And also, you look up top and you go to the Pittsburgh Steelers as well, and you send them that way and you get 22-53. I want them to pick at 16, but if they are to move around, I got these scenarios from SportsIllustrated.com. They were to move around. Those are the ones I like the most. I like the Steelers and I like the Buffalo Bills. Keep him out of the NFC.
Fourth
or
down.
Keep that pick out of the NFC. Sorry.
Why is one Thomas Brady a better man than you, Bump?
He's more handsome. He's made more money.
Okay.
He married a supermodel. Love my wife. Don't get it twisted.
Jen is beautiful.
But a supermodel. He's got He's got healthy kids, so do I. He's playing the NFL for forever. I had a cup of tea.
He's on a plant-based diet.
He's on a plant-based.
Are you on a plant-based diet?
I'm not. I was for a while, but I lost too much weight. I can't. I don't know, man. Wifey wasn't feeling that. He goes to sleep in silk pajamas. It helps. Yeah, he goes to sleep in some type of pajama that helps, produce whatever to make you heal
faster.
He's
a spaceman.
He is. He's not real. But he's going to get roasted on Netflix. Stacey, I'm a confident person. I believe in myself and who I am. But I don't know if I can sit there for an hour and let people just go
after me
like that. Nope. Talking about my physical, my mental, my spiritual, my family. Nope. I ain't got it in me. I don't have it in me. So, Tom Brady, you are a much better man than me. And I hope you get a nice check for this, because I would not sit up there and let people get after me.
G. Scott over on our sister station popped in and told us that they were talking about this and that they, like, solicited feedback from listeners. Mm. And both you and I were like, no, thank you.
No.
And don't do that. They did it to, like, have fun. And then G came in and he was like, yeah, it hurt.
So you pretty much asked him. You couldn't say anything. You had to just roast him. All negative stuff. What don't you like about G and Ursula? And they went hard.
And I couldn't handle it. And I think we always do this thing of, like, in fact, I was talking earlier about one of the headline rewrites was about Cam and Sherm being in their feelings a little bit. I say that knowing that I get in my feelings. There have been things that I've seen tweeted at me or texted at me, and anyone can say this, that, like, you think about it later that day.
Yeah.
And you're like, dang,
yeah.
I really let this get under my skin. And we romanticize the idea of, like, just get thick skin, let it slide off. That's not how humans work, though. Like, you don't grow up, you aren't socialized to be super negative to other people and absorb that negativity. Like, most people try to be nice and like hearing nice things. So it's hard to train your brain to not care. I don't know how people do it.
What Tom Brady has on us in this situation is that he is filthy
millions
rich and really successful.
And super,
so it's like,
handsome and successful.
Make fun of me. All y'all want my life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like when, like, if I were to see Stephen A. Smith ever spout back at someone, I'd be like, what are you doing, man? You got too much money for this.
Too much.
You
Leave
got
alone.
Too little time and too much money.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I ain't doing it.
No, it's not for me. It simply is not for me. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know. It's coming up at 45 after, 866-979-3776. Don't go anywhere.
Bump and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Rost.
All right, What I Need to Know coming your way in 15 minutes. You can get your questions in now to the Mac and Jack's text line. Any question, 866-979-3776. Let's get to the latest from one draft expert. Joel Klatt was on with Brock and Salk talking about how the Seahawks should build and then a little bit about Michael Penix, and that part of it's really interesting. So I'm actually going to start with Michael Penix here. One of the biggest questions for me, Bump, we talked about, like, if you could have a crystal ball and you can look into the future for any one player in the draft. I think you said Rome Odunze.
Yeah, I did.
Did you
say
Rome?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I said, I don't know if I said Michael Penix.
You did.
I might have said Kayla.
Because we went. It was very homey of us.
Yeah, we were very homerish with this. But I am genuinely curious. So one of the most intriguing questions to me is, like, is the thing with Michael Penix just that he had health issues and had four season-ending surgeries? Or is there a real question about his ceiling as an NFL starter and, like, a franchise guy? Joel Klatt looks to address how Penix can actually lead a team to a Super Bowl, what kind of situation he has to be in.
And this dude is asked to sit there and swing it, man. And he did it as well as anybody. He passes the football, not throws. He passes the football down the field as well as anybody. If he goes to the right spot, I do believe Michael Penix can be a quarterback that leads a franchise to a potential Super Bowl. And because of that, and no other reason, I think he would be the one that I would kind of pick of who are we going to be talking about in 10 years.
That's one of the most optimistic and positive takes I've heard on Penix.
It's the most logical.
Oh,
it is, like, it's almost like we just ignore everything else. Like, hey, man, I know he was the best passer in the country. I know he won a lot of games. I know he has game winning drives. I know on the big stage against Texas, he did his thing. But you know what? Them knees. everything cancels out because of them knees. I get it. It is a concern, but goodness gracious, man. I've said it in the first hour that the surgery ain't the same no more. I'll say it again. My dad was a U.S. Marine. Blew his knee up, right? His scar is ridiculous. My dad is, what, 60-something years old now? So that probably happened back in the 80s, early 90s or something. It's just different. Guys used to retire from the NFL after ACL surgeries. That was it for them. Now that's not the case. So I understand the concern. It's a way to separate money. But goodness gracious, put the film on. Watch this young man go to work. You know what I saw the other day? I saw Roman Dunze do a interview on a podcast with Ryan Clark, who I love. I think it's called The Pivot. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is how calm Michael Penix was. That drive that he led to win the game against Oregon, before that drive, he's on the sideline freestyling about how they're going to drive and win the game. He is so calm that he's on the sideline spitting bars.
This is in the Pac-12 championship game?
Yes, in the Pac-12 championship game.
I was watching that final like minute with literally my hands over my eyes.
Exactly. I mean, there's some intangibles there that people don't really talk about. I get what they're saying because they have to say it. But y'all ignoring a lot of football.
If you thought that was very optimistic, take a listen to his take about where Michael Penix could go in the draft.
Well, of course. And the only reason I didn't do that in my latest mock, which, by the way, comes out, it's out today. Bill Class Show. Just shameless plug. Don't worry about it.
Nice.
It's what us professionals do. I agree. I don't think he's going to be there.
Okay.
I really believe we're going to have all six of these guys taken before the Seattle pick.
I don't think Michael Penix will last until pick 16.
He shouldn't. He shouldn't. Will he? We shall see. I mean, so who would he have to jump in front of? He's got to jump in front of Drake May. And I think that's it, right? Because you got Caleb, Jaden Daniels, JJ, Drake May, and then he comes into the picture as the number 5 and number 6 of him.
It would be like Vegas taking him at 12 would be kind of the scenario.
And honestly, I think that is the right pick. And I think Vegas should take him. I think that Antonio Pierce is a coach who can relate to this younger generation because he is a younger guy himself. I believe he's in his late 40s or something like that. And he's been around the game. He was at Arizona State, didn't have a great rep over there, Arizona State, that whole program to Curtis's love. It got caught up in a whole bunch of stuff over there. Bear down. Forks down. Bear down. Sorry, Paul Moyer. Love you, baby. I think that's a perfect fit for Michael Penix. Even like a Bo Nix, he's a younger guy who can relate to these young folks.
Is there if he were to go, so you projected like weeks ago, so obviously if you were to redo it, you might change it, but you were like, I could see maybe Dallas taking a flyer in the 20s.
Yep.
That would be a great scenario because they have so many weapons. I mean, this offense, plug and play, like put them on there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were already the number one scoring offense in football last year.
And he sits for a year because Dak has one more year.
Yep. You have all the resources in the world. You have an amazing fan base, stadium, everything, facilities. The Raiders are a little bit different, still obviously brand new facilities, but like, you know, not as many weapons. But there are a few teams where I look at, are the Raiders one of those teams? Like there are a few teams around there in the first half where do you look at them and you go, you know what? If this team took Penix, I can see Joel Klatt's prediction happening where, like, he could lead this team to a Super Bowl or he could be in that great scenario.
Minnesota. If you can sign Justin Jefferson, keep him there. I think Minnesota's great. They also have, what, the 20 – what pick do they have after that?
23.
All right, yeah. So you get – say you get Penix at 11 and you don't move – you stay put, but we think that they're one of the candidates to move up to 3 or 4. If you do stay put and you grab Penix and then you go to 23, you get yourself whatever other need that you want, I think you're setting yourself up for the future. And then, again, he gets to sit for a year. Sam Darnold is there. Any situation Penix goes to, I don't want him to be the guy. I want him to sit. I would love for all these quarterbacks to sit. I would love for Caleb to sit. I love for Jaden Daniels to sit. Everybody involved because they're better off that way. But, yeah, I like the Raiders. I think Minnesota should be in the mix as well. But like you mentioned, I can't believe you remembered that too, Stacey, that my curveball was Dallas with number 24 pick.
Oh, I wrote it down so that you'd have bragging rights if it happened. And because I would love for that to happen. I know that it would mean he's making slightly less money going a little bit later in the first round versus, you know, near the top 10. But I also think that is far and away the best landing spot.
Mm-hmm.
You have a good run game. You have amazing pass catchers. You have a great offensive line. Jerry Jones is maybe a little overbearing. I'd call him a little overbearing as an owner. There's a question of how long Mike McCarthy will be there. But either way, it's better than going to Caleb Williams' situation.
Yep.
Caleb Williams is going to a team that is awful, that needs a lot of pieces.
Something the Dallas Cowboys do need, which they'll probably address in free agency. They're talking about bringing back Ezekiel Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
You need a running back.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I like him over there in Dallas, man. Either way, get this man in the first round.
I do think he is the core. I think Caleb Williams will be fine. I think we're looking at like a Trevor Lawrence situation where you look back at the class and you're like, maybe Drake May's with another team. Let's see what happened with Jaden Daniels. I have big questions about both of those, even though both are exceptional passers. I'm confident with Caleb. Penix, I have heard there's the most volatility in terms of ceiling versus floor. And the floor isn't based on skill, but based on injury history and maybe not being in the best situation. I'm also wondering if there's something outside of just, people make it seem like it's just maybe age, injury.
We haven't heard anything, though. But we would have heard something, right?
I feel like if it was just injury, you don't think that he'd be mocked higher more often.
I think they're looking at these younger whippersnappers.
Yeah.
With no injury. And say, you know what? Let's go ahead and roll the dice with them.
All right. Well, get your questions in for What I Need to Know, 866-979-3776. Any question, text it now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Your questions, our answers, right around the corner.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Get your questions in for What I Need to Know, 866-979-3776. That's the Mac and Jack's text line.
Can you please read the first one?
What I need to know, is this a consignment? You guys, that's how we know we got some P1s out there.
Oh, man.
What I need to know, do the Chargers take a quarterback at pick 5?
No. No. No, no, no. So I'm talking to my puppy. I just got a new puppy, a mini Labradoodle, and every day I'm telling her, no, Callie, no. That's what I'm telling you, no. It's not going down.
Yeah, I don't know why they would. The 425 says Antonio Brown, which like,
come on, you start with anything.
Claims he has intel the Chargers will draft J.J. McCarthy at number 5 and send Herbert to Minnesota for picks 11 and 23 plus future draft cut. Look, if it, fake news or not, if it happens, that would be super fun. And credit to Antonio Brown if he's got that report. Antonio Brown also tweets out lots of stuff for attention.
Yeah, he does.
I think
speaking of Tom Brady roast, Antonio Brown will be involved as far as a topic.
Wait, really?
When it comes to roasting Tom Brady.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, he's going to be there roasting people? Are they going to invite him? What I need to know. The weather for the Mariners series this past weekend got me thinking. Bump, what's the worst weather you've played in and how did you perform?
Never forget. In high school, it was a league championship against Morningside. It was raining sideways. Only played in one game during rain in high school. Won that thing. And then the second one was, it was hailing / snowing windy before we played USC my freshman year. Really gassed us up thinking that the rain was going to help us. It did not. They whooped our you-know-whats.
What I need to know. No one asked me the worst weather I've ever swam in, and I think that's a little disrespectful.
Have you? I'll ask you. What is it?
I'm so glad you asked, Bum. you know, there was, you know.
Was the pool heater not turned on?
Yes. Yeah, it was in the summer during practice, it was fine because it's like, it's in theory warm out, but we would practice at like 7 a.m., so it's freezing. But I put my body through sacrifices in order to become an elite athlete. And that is why I have never won anything.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Can you swim from one side of Lake Union to the other side?
How are you in open waters?
Good. Yeah. I've swam across Angle Lake before.
Wow.
I'm pretty good with distance swimming.
Really?
But not like an insane amount. But I'm still a pretty strong swimmer.
I'd have to doggy paddle all the way across. It's going to take me an hour, 2 hours.
Does open water intimidate you at all, Stacey?
Like the ocean? Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I think that people think, like, I have been swimming since I was little. I was on swim team. If I fell off of a boat, a yacht, a cruise ship into the water, I would be terrified. And I think people underestimate how easy it would be to drown in the ocean.
Those waves, man.
That's insane.
The sea claims many men.
Truly.
That's one of my favorite things about the NHL waiver wire is it says sea claims such and such. And people are always, yeah, the sea does claim many men.
What I need to know. Just registered the jet skis we have. Okay, fancy. My wife calls them money pits, but they're a blast and we use them all the time. Well, she's using them too. Do y'all have any money pit hobbies or anything your significant other likes to complain about?
Oh, golf every month.
I was going to say bump.
Get that deal. But now I got my boys like to play. So it's like, listen, I'm spending quality time with my sons. Okay, we golf a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not married. And my boyfriend isn't complaining about things I spend money on. So,
not yet.
But I don't think it would be. I don't have any. Golf is a very expensive hobby. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are times that you've purchased. You talked about buying some stupid contraption. Wasn't it like really expensive?
Stupid to you.
Again, this is. But you mentioned you having to explain it. And in my mind, I was like, I kind of get what Jen's saying. Yeah. Where you're like, ah.
Because. Y'all are hating on my greatness.
Okay.
Okay. I'm trying to be the best golfer in Snohomish County. Okay.
What I need to know, money pit hobbies. I have 7 English bulldogs.
Dang.
7?
So your hobby is bulldogs?
You're breeding them?
I'm guessing.
You better get some money out of that.
Yeah. You better sell those guys to beautiful homes. Let's see. Bump, I had a Pete sighting up north. I said, hi, Pete, quietly. He responded politely with a hang loose wave.
Nice. Sounds about right.
Hey, Bump, in your time of... Oh, I like this question from the 206. In your time of playing, who were the most disrespectful fans you've come across?
Well, in the NFL, it was different because I wasn't really anybody. They weren't looking at me. They weren't talking to me. But
Or disrespectful to teammates. Like, maybe just a fan base where you were like, ooh, this is hostile.
You know what? USC, they were the worst because I was from that area. I was originally committed to them, and I've told this story before. They did their research. They was calling my mom by her first name, my grandma by her first name.
Wow.
They went deep talking about what high school I went to. It was but we lost. But I still got a tutty on them now, so you know,
good.
It's all good.
Stick it to them. What I need to know, Bump quote says, I like this, he hit a 76, but did anyone actually see it?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. My homie was there. My son was there. That was even the most proud moment is that my son was there because he's getting so good, he's going to beat me straight up in about a year or two.
What I need to know from JD in the 509, I'm trying to make it to Fenway this summer. Oh, my God, JD, me too. Me and Derek are going. What's a stadium or ballpark you would really want to visit? That's my answer. What about yours?
I would want, I want to go to Spain and go to Barcelona FC game.
Ooh, yeah. I think you mean Barcelona.
Barcelona, sorry.
Okay.
Match, sorry, not a game, a match.
What about in the U.S.? Because you've been, the difference is you've been to so many places. You've traveled a ton.
I would want to go to, I would say, I've been to Jerry's World. I haven't been to the new, I wish I could go to the old Yankee Stadium. But no, Wrigley too, man. I think you have to, you have to experience it. Or as much as I hate Boston, I got to go see the Green Wall.
I'm very excited to do it. We thought about getting tickets there, but then I looked at the view from it and I was like, I feel like people might just do this because it's the Green Monster and not because the view is actually amazing.
Yeah.
So
I like that view though, like behind. Either I want to be first base, you know.
Yes, that's,
or I want to be.
I like the third to home, third baseline.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. At T-Mobile, I like first to second, or excuse me, home to first.
Yeah.
Let's see what I need to know. I just had one here. Oh, you know what I was going to ask? Actually, my own question. It's not a what I need to know. You said you've been to Jerry's World. Where does that rank in terms of opulence? Like in terms of the most.
That is the most magnificent stadium I've ever, and we got the full tour, and it takes
you
a long
locker
time.
Rooms.
Locker rooms where the players walk out, every level. It is the most impressive structure I've ever been in.
I have always thought, like, if you're a player there and you go anywhere else, almost anywhere else in the league, it's not like those facilities aren't beautiful. Like, VMAC has beautiful views from the water with the practice fields. Yeah. It's gorgeous, bald eagles flying around. But, like, there's something about Jerry's World that's like the spaceship mall.
It's like when I got cut from the Hawks and went to the CFL to BC Lions. I go, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
Facilities were whack.
This person said, what I need to know. I took a tour of Fenway Park and it was amazing. A must see. Yeah.
Thanks.
What's a question?
Appreciate you.
Let's see. JD in the 509. I hit a 76 every time I go out golfing. Unfortunately, I get there by the 12th or 13th hole. Well,
most people get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's see. What current NFL quarterback could you picture having hip hop dancing ability?
Current NFL quarterback?
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He's from Florida, man. I'm Florida boys, get down.
What if I hit you with like a Jared Goff?
No way.
I think so.
You know what might surprise you? I think Josh Allen might be able to get down.
Oh, and that doesn't surprise me in any way whatsoever. All right, you guys, that'll do it for us today. For Michael Bumpus, Curtis Rogers, Matt Nelson, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming up next.